The Quraishan elders, especially those who had lost family members to Islam, now mounted a furious offensive against Muhammad. They would ostentatiously turn their backs whenever they heard Muslims praising Allah as the one and only divine being, and aggressively demonstrate their joy when the other deities were invoked. They demanded that everybody remain faithful to the traditional faith. It was the only decent thing to do. All this talk of revelation was outrageous. Muhammad had made the whole thing up. Why should he alone of all the Quraysh have received a divine message? Muhammad was mad. He had been led astray by a jinni. He was a sorcerer who lured young people away from their father's sunnah, their way of life, by magic arts. When he was asked to validate his claims by working a miracle, as Moses or Jesus had done, he admitted that he was an ordinary mortal, like themselves. The leaders of the opposition included some of the most powerful clan chiefs in Mecca. Foremost among them were Abu al-Hakam, an irascible, ambitious man who seemed deeply disturbed by Islam. The elderly, corpulent Umayyah ibn Khalaf and the highly intelligent Abu Sufyan, who had been a personal friend of Muhammad, together with his father-in-law, Utbah ibn Rabia, and his brother. As yet, Suhail ibn Amr, chief of Amir, a devout man who, like Muhammad, had made an annual retreat on Mount Hira, had not yet made up his mind, and Muhammad hoped to win him over. Some of the most able young men in Mecca were also virulently hostile to Islam. The warriors Amr ibn al-As and Khalid ibn al-Walid, and, most zealous of all, Umar ibn al-Khattab, the nephew of Abu al-Hakam, who was fanatically devoted to the old religion. While the other chiefs were proceeding cautiously against Muhammad, Umar was ready for more extreme methods. Muhammad had now given up hope of converting the Meccan establishment and realized that he must concentrate on the disaffected poorer people who were eager for his message. This was an important turning point, which is recorded poignantly in the Quran. Muhammad had been so absorbed in a discussion with some of the Meccan grandees that he impatiently frowned and turned away when a blind man approached him with a question. God reproved Muhammad severely. A prophet must approach all members of the community with the same respect. He must move beyond the aristocratic ethos of Muruwa. The Quran was for rich and poor alike. In brushing the blind man aside as though he did not matter, Muhammad had behaved like a kafir. The word kafir is often translated unbeliever, but this is extremely misleading. Muhammad had no quarrel with the beliefs of Abu al-Hakam and Abu Sufyan. In fact, much of their theology was quite correct. They believed without question, for example, that Allah was the creator of the world and the Lord of the Kaaba. The trouble was that they did not translate their beliefs into action. They were impervious to the true meaning of the signs of God's benevolence in his creation, which required human beings to imitate him in all their dealings. Instead of despising and oppressing vulnerable people, they should behave like Allah and spread over them the wings of tenderness.